Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. I have with me a guy I already like, and I just met him. This is Brian D. Meeks. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing great. I'm really pleased to be on your show. This is exciting stuff.
Well, listen, I'll tell you why I like you already, because I was getting YouTube notifications popping up that you were watching other episodes. You were commenting kind things about other guests. And to me, that tells me that you're in it for the community and not just for yourself. So already that speaks a ton about your character.
Well, thank you. I have always been somebody that when I take on a new important thing in my life, whether it's getting into being healthier, that's something I've been focused on a lot the last 6 or 8 months. Just this new position at Blockster, which I started on January 2nd of this year. So I'm new to this company. Or going back to 2010 when I wrote my first chapter ever of my first novel.
Ooh.
When I have those important path changes in my life, I throw myself into it. I want to read every article. I want to watch the videos because
it's so good.
I feel like there's value in not just learning, but learning as much and as quickly as possible.
Well, we're kindred spirits there. And we just were chatting a few minutes before we started, and you made a great insightful comment. You said, hey, Carrie, it must have been hard to make the pivot between your publishing background and blockchain. And I kind of chuckled and I said, oh my gosh. Like, I literally wrote an email yesterday that, and this was not hyperbole. Okay. So obviously it was about, you know, I'm deeply in prayer about Ukraine and Russia, right? Because I think we all are as a world right now. And after I gave those words, I said, the recent shift into blockchain has almost cost me everything.
Ooh, like, that's good writing.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, it's not even a joke. Like, I'm talking about, there's been people who, a third of the people left our company. A third of the people left our company. Some authors have left. Relationships have changed. But I'll tell you what, I'm so convinced of this. And my reply to you was, I didn't switch to blockchain company. I said, we're still publishing. And by the way, I mean, I got my inbox full of proposals from people that are like, oh my gosh, we need to get published now because you're thinking this way. But here's what I said, and I want you to share about this, Brian.
Absolutely.
I said, every company has to make the shift with Web3, AR, VR, blockchain, 5G, you name it, all these things, because that's where we're going. In other words, if we would have said back in the 90s, well, you know, you're starting to focus on the internet, you probably shouldn't do that. You'd be like, what? Like, the internet affects every business. You have to. So talk to us about this, Brian. And you made a great comment that said, what's here today in Web3 wasn't here yesterday. Talk about both those concepts for us.
Yeah. First, I want to sort of add on to your position about everyone needs to be involved. Mm. They absolutely do. This is a seismic shift in the world, unlike anything we've seen, maybe going back as far as the advances of the very first polio vaccines and things where, you know, the world was under siege from a terrible disease, which we can sort of relate to now. But my picture in my mind of 5 years from now is that with recent events, what has happened in Canada, the world wakes up and all of a sudden these people who have one position with regards to the COVID vaccine, a lot of people donated them money. I don't know exactly. I think $19 million worth of support for their position. And Trudeau said, we don't like your position. We're just going to take all your money. And that's a scary thing when a government decides they can seize your assets because they disagree. That made a lot of news and people started thinking, wow, I don't really know what Bitcoin is. I've heard about it. I don't understand crypto. Blockchain, no idea. But it might be important. My mother, who's 80, she knows about it because I, yeah, she's, how's your job today? And I tell her things. So she's learning because my mom's awesome and we talk on the phone all the time. But yeah, now her questions are pretty insightful. And I think they're indicative of what a lot of people are going to be asking is, do we want to live in a world where the governments and fiat currency, where they can make all those decisions, just wipe you out because that political party doesn't agree with your views? I personally don't. Wow. But then you layer on top of that, onto the heels of what happened in Canada, Putin invades the Ukraine.
Yep.
And the first crypto-related story that I personally saw was Twitter reached out and said, hey, is there a way that your government can accept crypto donations so we as a world can support you in fighting Putin and this terrible aggression? And they said, yes. And so now the entire world is watching Ukraine and playing. And I have to say, from Blockster's perspective, we have a lot of staff in the Ukraine. For those who have never been to Blockster.com, the first thing that everyone notices is our branding. Our graphic design team, which is entirely based in the Ukraine, are brilliant. Our branding is, we have a lot of good aspects, but everyone says they love the graphics that we create. And those people are running for their lives. It's devastating. We get reports there. We're not expecting them to work right now. That's not what's important, but one of our people drove, well, I'm not going to give details because I don't want to put anybody at risk, but the point is we have people there serving numerous functions and they are trying to stay alive. And that's a terrifying thing. But back to our discussion on the future, well, the entire world is watching now. And for those people who think, oh, you know what? Crypto, that's just for the drug dealers. That's just how you hide money from the government. Well, now 24/7, there's news about this is how crypto can be used.
Yes.
Absolutely. There have been people who are corrupt using crypto. Sure. But there's people that are corrupt using paper US dollars.
Yeah, that's right.
I just think that this is a huge tipping point from the perspective of people wanting to know more.
Yeah.
Before Canada, before Russia.
Yeah.
I don't care about crypto.
Yeah.
Now, I might need to learn about it. And this takes us to sort of a next phase for those that are tuning into Blockchain Life. Clearly, your listeners have enough interest that you want to find out this stuff. So everyone that is watching this video is already in the group that I would call crypto interested.
Yes.
And my estimation is based on three of the largest crypto news sites. We're not one of them. We're hope to be there one day. But looking at their numbers in December, I would estimate just roughly there are 60 million people worldwide into crypto. And now that's just a very much, I look at their numbers, I figure there's some overlap and threw a few million more in just for good measure. But if you take 60 million and divide it by the world population is in the ballpark of 7.8 billion. So currently 0.7% of the population of the world are into this stuff we're talking about.
Wow.
So we're not even close to the early adopter stage at less than 1%. It's still brand new. Now, if you watch the Super Bowl, crypto.com ads, and then of course the famous ad done by Coinbase, the Coinbase one was amazing because they just floated the little QR code around the screen, and it did so well. It brought down their site in 6 seconds.
Oh my God, it
was a 1 minute long ad, and within 6 seconds, their site was down because people keep their phones in their hands, and they were there, and the whole world tried to get on Coinbase at once. Apparently, they didn't anticipate it being as good as it was, which is, I don't know what they spent, 12 or 18 million or something. I don't know the exact number. Don't anyone quote me on this. It was a lot of money to run a 1 minute Super Bowl ad. And so on one hand, people, they're making a little fun at Coinbase's expense because, oh, you spent all this money and your site was down. But we're still talking about it today.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is one of those instances where the old saying, no news is bad news or no PR is bad PR,
because
people will still go look up the YouTube video and all that.
It's like when Elon Musk threw something against the truck that he was demoing and the window broke.
Yes.
Yeah, it was all over the news everywhere for weeks. So did he do it
right after he says, you know, it's shatterproof glass, he immediately shatters it. And
exactly.
That's a great example. Yeah. My point being is that if the folks who are watching right now, you're already in the club, if you will.
Yes.
Now, there's a tendency, at least maybe it's just me, but I think other people feel this way. There's a tendency when you find something new to immediately think, oh, I wish I'd found this earlier.
Right. Right.
Yeah, sure. It'd be great to go back to 2008, 2009, 2010, buy Bitcoin then. But you know what? It'd also be great to go back to 1973 and buy Berkshire Hathaway at $40 because it's trading at $479,000 today. So the point is, you can, if you want to figure out ways to paint cloud into your giant ball of silver lining, you could always do it. My point to your listeners is you're not late to the game.
Mm.
You're ahead of 7.794 billion people.
Wow. And that's so good.
Will this be the end of countries? I don't know. But when you listen to people, I'm going to mispronounce his name, and I don't want to because he's my hero. Balaji. Do you know Balaji's name? Balaji Sriarani. No, thanks, Sharon. But let me just see if I can find
Google's
Balaji, because this is a guy who.
Yeah,
I'm going to spell it for you folks.
Okay.
Because he's worth following on Twitter. Balaji, last name Srinivasan, and this guy is smart at a level that I can barely even comprehend. I'm in Mensa. I'm pretty smart.
Yeah.
But this guy, he is off the charts. I first discovered him on episode, I think it was 206 of the Tim Ferriss podcast, maybe 306. One, I don't know, but it's something 06 in the last year. And just listening to him talk about the future and what is coming really got me excited. And so my point being is that he talks about the state of the world and the state of countries and governments. And are they that necessary anymore? If the smartest people in the world are involved in the crypto space, which I believe they are, and they all want a decentralized world without governments, where if you need some roads built because you're a trucking company, maybe you have a Dow coin. And the people that need the roads, well, everybody needs the roads unless you don't have a car, maybe they support that.
Mm.
And if you look at, my friend Sherry and I were having this conversation yesterday. If you look at the amount of money that comes in from toll booths, does Chicago really spend all that money on their roads? Or do the politicians sometimes dip their greedy little fingers into the toll booth money for other things? Well, it's the latter. The point is, as a world, we could be vastly more efficient.
Ooh,
if we need to spend $20 million on a road, the people of the DAO could vote on it, and then they would hire a company that is
competitive,
competitive, and they would get it done, and they wouldn't be trying to slow down the road repairs to make sure there's enough to feed the government road repair people for the whole year. It just, there's so many possible ideas out there. And I just made that one up. That was just off the cuff.
That's good though.
There are lots of people who are visionaries that want to see this become the way. And if the smartest people in the world are on one team, and then politicians who may not be quite as bright as the smartest people in the world are trying to hold on to their fiefdoms,
yeah,
the smart people are going to win. And then you get El Salvador. Mm. El Salvador makes Bitcoin a national currency.
Yes.
They're not going to be the last one.
Yes.
In that episode of Tim Ferriss's, I don't mean to be driving people away from your show, man. For Tim Ferriss, but
hey,
he runs a pretty good show too.
Yeah.
And in that one with Balaji, Balaji's been on several episodes. It's a 3-hour and 48-minute show. And I have listened to it 1.5 times. I'm not through the second time yet. But in it, this was back in maybe April, May, June of 2021. Mm-hmm. He was asked the question by Tim Ferriss, what are some potential threats to Bitcoin?
Mm.
And he said, well, China might ban Bitcoin mining. This was before China did ban Bitcoin mining. He said, China might ban Bitcoin mining. And Tim Ferriss said, well, what does that mean? China's huge. He said, it'll probably have a negative impact on price for about a week. China then later in the year banned Bitcoin mining, and Bitcoin went down for a week or 10 days, or I'm not remembering the exact numbers, but the realities are this guy is so bright.
Wow.
He thought that was probably coming. He was right. And it had almost no impact on Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency. No, everybody didn't abandon it.
Sure.
So you have China. I mean, admittedly, China's a little larger than El Salvador, but the countries like El Salvador that see it as the future, even cities, we're based in Miami, and we've just moving stuff. We haven't even opened our new Blockster office, but I'll be moving down to Miami early April. We're getting our team in Miami because Miami is becoming the Silicon Valley for crypto.
Oh yeah, 100%.
There are three hubs there. Their Mayor Suarez is maybe the greatest politician of all time. At least I'm biased because he is trying to turn his city into the crypto hub, and I would argue that he's done it.
Sure, he created the Miami coin.
Exactly, and so people who are into this start to seeing these things, and then you compare all the positive of a Miami or what Dubai is doing. And then you look at the ones that are trying to hold on to the old ways.
Mm, it just like Chicago. Works.
Yes, the people banning it, you know what?
New York, yeah, sure.
People just move. That's what happens with taxes. There's 7 states in the United States that don't have income tax, and people move there from the states that have really high income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I've gone on for a long time.
This is so relevant. It's unbelievable. So let's talk about these things.
Yes.
You mentioned that what exists today wasn't even around yesterday. And that is mind-blowing, but I 100% agree. Probably about 9 months ago, I started to say, okay, this is really going to change the world. Here's what I did. I subscribed to Wall Street Journal. Okay,
now the Daily Diary of the American Dream. I've been reading it since I was 12 years old. I love it.
I would be like this, because listen to my arrogance, Brian. I mean my naivety and arrogance. This just shows where I was about a year or two ago.
Uh-huh.
A year or two ago, I said, you know what? My wife would say, did you hear about such and such in the news? Did you hear about such and such? I said, no, I don't. I said, I'm not focused on what other people are doing. I'm focused on what Igniting Souls is doing. And
sure.
And there's a point to that. But then there's also a point that says, you know what? The whole world is shifting in unbelievable ways.
Absolutely.
And it is affecting you. I mean, when there's an iOS or iOS update, and now your phone is an augmented reality machine. Like,
I know,
it affects you. So I'm with you. Okay. So talk to us, what are you seeing and how do you stay in the loop, and tell us about your company too? What you're doing. Yeah.
Interesting. You should ask about staying in the loop.
Oh,
for those listening, Blockster.com is a crypto centric news site.
Oh, I love it.
We are a platform where folks can go, they can connect with other people interested in this world that we're talking about, the crypto yes. world, the blockchain world, Web 3.0. We have daily articles on a myriad of subjects, from lifestyle to NFT news. There's about 30 or 40 different subjects we cover, DeFi, ICOs, all the different things. We have partners. We have a partner that I'll be putting up an article tomorrow, the next day, okay. and it's called the Co-op Network, COOP, like a co-op, because they are a co-op, and their white paper is brilliant in that they're thinking through problems that exist in the current world,
okay.
and how do you solve those problems using blockchain? What does blockchain offer that can alleviate problems? And one of the areas they're working in is the CBD oil market, the CBD sure. cannabis and so forth. Well, they talk about the challenges for producers,
okay.
the challenges for retailers, and the challenges for consumers. Because mm-hmm. as a consumer, there may be a rating on a site that says it's a good product, but because the producers and the retailers have to often deal with so many different jurisdictions. For instance, yeah. in the United States, Colorado, it's legal. Mm. It's legal in different ways. I mean, there's different rules in all these different states. Some is completely illegal, but it's not legal federally. So there's always the cloud hanging over that market that the feds can come in to any of these places where it is legal in their state, and federal law overrides state law. And so there's this pressure, this constant worry that at any moment things could change. So because of that, the producers, the retailers, and even the consumers are hesitant about giving information. Retailers and producers, they struggle with the influx of revenue because banking doesn't want their business.
Wow.
So you have all these problems, but with a DAO, and this co-op network is a legal DAO.
For my audience who doesn't know what that yeah. is, a decentralized autonomous organization, it's essentially yes. a community.
Yes. It's a community, and because it's decentralized and you have these nodes, for lack of a better word, I don't recall what word they used in their white paper, it was probably not nodes, but because of the decentralized nature, it allows them to build out a system for reviews where it's impossible to game the system. Because blockchain, everything's written down.
Transparency.
Yeah. And you have lots of people voting. And if somebody is trying to game the system, another person will find out. And quickly, the power of the public will get that dishonest review out of the system, which is good checks and balances, which is good for the consumer. But it's also good for the retailer, because if you're a retailer that literally produces a superior product, you want that to be verified. I could do a show just on what the Co-op Network is doing, But if you want to find out more, then probably tomorrow or the next day,
yeah,
I have written an article about them for Blockster.com.
Oh, the man. Point is, so good.
There are numerous news sites. We are one. And we put out
articles. This is it, right? This is the website, right?
Honestly, I have lost the thing on my computer which shows our interactions.
Oh, I got it.
So I'm just staring at the Blockster.com is correct. Yes.
I'm looking at it, man. I'm looking at it and it's got amazing things. It has trending. It has things broken down into categories. For example, crypto, exchange, others.
Yes.
Popular ones on the right hand side. This Bored Ape is saving apes in Borneo from February 24th, right? Is this it?
Yes, that's absolutely it. That was written by a new writer of ours, and she lives in Singapore and is covering, she writes only articles covering that part of the world because we have, for whatever reason, become very popular in Malaysia. And so I learned that through my data analytics 3 weeks ago. And as soon as I saw the spike from Malaysia, I'm not determined what the cause of the spike was. Somebody, possibly an influencer, decided they liked Blockster and told their friends, and our traffic grew from Malaysia. And so as soon as that happened, I knew her and reached out and said, we'd like you to do some writing for us. And she agreed. And so she's writing stuff that appeals to that region. Anyway, we have the Block Watch, which is a feeds of the various, I think we have over 2,500 coins that one can look up on our site and,
wow,
and get the charts and so forth. We also have our own coin BXR, which is, we haven't really officially launched yet, so I don't tend to talk about that much.
Yeah.
But the idea is this platform, because we're fairly new and we're still building, the developers are working out the ad platform for the system, because one of the problems mm-hmm. in the world of crypto is that there are so many social sites mm-hmm. that don't want anything to do with crypto. So there is not enough opportunity for projects that want to get their word out.
You are so right.
Do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I have an NFT project coming later this week. I purchased mm-hmm. a press release with a company yesterday because I believe in this so much. It's going to help good. And they returned my money and said, you know what? We can't do anything on crypto or NFTs.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
And in those companies' defense, the realities of the crypto world we live in right now
is unstable.
Yeah, I wouldn't say unstable. I would say that there are many, many bad actors. Mm. So if somebody listening to this video is new to crypto, a couple things. One, if it's your first wallet, those 12 to 16 words that you're given, you have to treat those as preciously as you would treat your children, because people don't understand that if you lose
your seed phrase,
yes, that's what they're called, 12 to 16 words, and you forget your password and you need to reset it. If you don't have those seed phrase, you're never getting back into that wallet. And that should put fear into your heart, because crypto is, if you get into it today and then you forget about it for 5 years, and this has happened. There was a woman who, she couldn't remember her whole seed phrase and had 3.5 Bitcoin in her wallet. Well, you know, Bitcoin's trading right now, according to our site, at 40,992. So 3.5 of those is what, $140,000 worth of Bitcoin that she couldn't get to. Well, the story has a happy ending, and this is one from our site. Apparently she knew some of it and was able to hire a firm that, if they have a little bit of information, they can bust into a wallet. But it's a pretty rare situation. Most of the time, if you lose your seed phrase, you're out of luck. So for those listening, not only, write down your seed phrase, put it someplace safe that is fireproof, and then maybe make a copy and put it someplace else safe. And when you're writing, if you've got bad handwriting, make sure you can read it, because yeah. You know, if you write a word sloppily and you can't tell if it's one or the other, that could be bad.
Exactly.
So anyway, I'm beating that.
No, but this is 100% right on.
Yeah.
Let's go about 3-4 more minutes. And okay. I want to give an example of exactly what you're saying that happened in the news maybe 2 weeks ago. Okay. What's her name? Melania Trump?
The former first lady.
Yes. I'm told, you know, again, I'm not sharing on this show my political views. I believe all humans are flawed, you know, including me, especially.
Absolutely.
But there was an example of some of this new education that hasn't been known in crypto. There's a lot of myths out there. And sure. one of the myths that I read was that she or someone on her team purchased the NFT with her own wallet.
Which one could certainly do. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with that, because it's a piece of art. You could do a painting, put it up in a gallery, people buy some of the other paintings, and you decide, you know what? I really like the one of the lighthouse. And at that point, you've got to deal with the gallery. And so you can't just take it down, because they now have a vested interest. And so you decide, I want that one for my wall. I buy it. Now, I don't know the motivation behind
there you go.
Mrs.
There you
Trump. Go. Were they trying to create news? Well, maybe.
Of course.
Maybe she just wanted it. But the realities are, and this is what people don't understand, is that there aren't any secrets.
That's it. That was
on the blockchain. Because you can go and look at every single whale. In crypto, people who buy in large quantities enough that can move a market are called whales. Well, there are other people out there that just look at their wallets, because you can see what's being written into the blockchain. It's a ledger. For those new, the blockchain is a ledger that can be viewed by anyone. And so if you're curious, did Elon Musk buy any crypto today? You can log in and see if there's anything on the ledger. It might say $7 million worth of Dogecoin. And then you know that spike for Dogecoin at 2:32 p.m., that came from Elon Musk, because it's right there on the ledger. And so if politicians think that they can fake it, they can't anymore. So it's a double-edged sword. If they're used to faking it, great. But also, if people are faking things on their behalf in order to, instead of build them up, tear them down,
sure.
Well, you can't do that either, because it's all on the blockchain.
That is amazing.
Yes.
That is absolutely amazing. So listen, we want to, Brian D. Meeks, you started with value.
Thank you.
Showing up before we even came and, you know, commenting on our past guests, and some of them even told me, like, oh, who is this guy? This is so nice. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I think the young one, Kiera, that we just interviewed, she saw some comments. So thank you. And then you ended with value, which is to say, hey, crypto's a new world, and it's allowing new efficiencies and new technologies. And I love that I'm going to ask you again for your website link, because now I understand it better, but blockster.com.
BLOCKSTER.com. And I would tell everybody that we're pretty new. Are there some things that are on our bug list that we're working on to polish it up? Absolutely. And later in the year, like I mentioned earlier, we are going to be officially launching our token, the BXR token. So there's a lot of exciting things coming, and I'm thrilled to be part of it. I started January 2nd, now I'm the director of digital marketing. So I get to be out in the social world all day long, talking to people like you about this. Hopefully I can offer some value as far as education, but I also, I want to suck up the knowledge as well. So it's a two-way street for everyone.
Oh man. Well, listen, I love your humility. I love the fact that you're teaching your 8-year-old mom this stuff. I'm teaching my 7-year-old mom this stuff. And I'm going to shoot you that press release, my friend, because we did find a company to get it out, and it's going to be some big news later this week. So
that sounds great. I'd love to see it. And if you ever need somebody, a guest on the show, I'm typically am able to
get on
pretty early. If you have somebody cancel on you and you give me 20 minutes notice, if I don't have an existing call, I'm in.
You brought it today. I love it, Brian. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.